Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
To have an idea of the perspective of God in situations in our lives, I call this message, Be Strong in the Lord. Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Verse 19, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord deliver him from them all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for all the situations that we face in life. We thank you, Lord, because you are our God and we can trust you in the midst of difficult situations, difficult times. We thank you, Lord, because you are with us. And this morning, Lord, we ask you that you will guide us in understanding the meaning of difficult situations, and that we will learn through that and know that you are with us in all this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has been a year and 3 months now that we moved from Texas to New Orleans. Yesterday, someone asked me, for me to send him my address. So I wrote 4065 Lipsy Street, New Orleans, Texas, 70126. And so he was confused. So he said, are you in Texas or are you in New Orleans? I said, I'm still in New Orleans. But my mind, my heart is still there. And especially when we moved here a year ago, when we first got here, we weren't here for a month, not even, that we faced hurricane and we had to move. And I was convinced that was God's sign to say, this is not your place. Go back home, okay? But difficult situation. And on my way to Texas, my beautiful truck, F-150, that I love so much, they burned it down here at a car dealer that I had. Difficult situations and circumstances. Many people think and say this, that believers should not go through difficult situations. As a matter of fact, how is possible that a God that loves us allow us to go through suffering and difficulties? The idea of the as being children of God and have difficult situations, troubles, pain, suffering, sickness, and all those things that goes with it, it's not clear how is that possible if we're children of God. But the Bible says that as children of God, we will go through difficult situations. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He says that hardship often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary circumstances or situations. I don't know of you, but I don't like difficult situations. I don't like go through troubles. I like things to fly easy. I travel a lot, and lately has been a lot of trouble flying. Everywhere you go, every place you want to go, there's troubles with your luggage, with this and that. So that's why I learned to travel light. If you see a big man like me, I have a little suitcase like this. I carry on all the time. If I go for one day or a month, okay, even though I have to wash my clothes or whatever, but I'm not checking anything in because I do not like difficult situations or troubles. But the Bible tells us that are difficult things that happen in our lives with a reason. God has a plan in all this process that we go through to teach us several things. Number one, I want to see this morning is pain comes through rejection. I don't know if people had rejected you ever. Have you felt that? Be a place that you feel awkward or you don't feel welcome or people don't care for you. Our island is, I'm from an island close to Venezuela, really close to Venezuela, 50 miles off the coast. And through all those things that's going on in Venezuela, a lot of people are fleeing to different places, and the closest is our island, so they go there. Last year, actually, I went to my island, and I noticed this because I haven't been for a while, so that a lot of people are coming, but the way our people treat the people from Venezuela is very ugly. It's because you come to my place, so you need to go my way or things like that. And it's difficult because I live in the border between Texas and Mexico. And I see how people treat each other. And that's really ugly. You know, the sad thing is that most people that treat each other bad are from the same race. They're just a couple steps ahead of them. And then the way they treat it's like they were never there before. And that's really sad to see. I have a friend that he came to Bible school, and he was living in Texas, and he noticed that in churches, most people are people that come crossing the border. So if immigration can come into the churches, the church will be empty. Even probably the pastor will be gone in no time because most people are like that in Texas at the border. And he came, and one day we were in the class, and he started complaining. He was saying, how is that possible that Christians are doing things like that, going illegal in other countries? And we tried to explain to him what's going on and why people are moving and all that, but he didn't care. He was so set in his mind. This is the way that I ought to be and all those things. And I think God has a way to work with people until a family of him was, because he was from Peru, he was married with an American, so he has his paper, everything nice. But a family of his had to flee from Peru to the United States because of situations there. And all of a sudden, he changed his mind. Because it hit close to him now to know that people go through difficult situations and how we act and we treat them is very important. You know, Jesus, in John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible tells us that he was rejected also from his own people. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And just because of that, verse 12 gave us, you and me, the opportunity that we can move into the kingdom of God because his own people rejected him first. The rejection is greater when we have expectations. Because when we think this is the way it ought to be, and then something else happened, it feels a lot worse than when we didn't expect anything. And this is some things that happen also in marriage, in relationship, that people expectation is terrible. It's actually terrible. I've been working with a couple now. They're getting married next week. And I told them, don't have expectations. Don't create expectations, because nothing that you plan will go, especially the wedding night, okay? I remember my wife and I, when we were getting married, they put all those string in between the chairs, and you had to walk through that. But someone had to have a scissor to just cut all those things to go, the ribbons. But the girl that was had to do it, no one gave her, the little girl, no one gave her a scissor. So now they're looking everywhere where's one to cut those ribbons to go through. Something will happen. Crazy stuff will happen. In Isaiah 53, the Bible tells us how Jesus will be rejected by all of us, by people that he came to save. When you walk into a place knowing that you're bringing something good and people reject you, that's hard. And that's why the Bible is clear that the Lord is close to those that have, their heart has been broken, there have been trouble, and their spirit has been crushed, because the Lord is the one that will give us strength throughout those time and those situations. Not only the pain of rejection, but the pain also of abandonment. I don't know if you have experienced some of this, but Joseph in the Bible, Genesis chapter 37, tells us a horrible story of brothers rejecting the little brother. I know how you are in your family, but family is fun, and family is crazy too. And probably your family is more crazy than mine, or who knows. But every family has their own drama. They created their own things because that's the way we work as family. Joseph was a young man that his dad had privileged, actually liked him more than his brothers. And people ask all the time when we're parents, who do you like one of your children more than others? And because we're smart, we don't say anything. But everybody knows that we have certain privileges in some way or the other. So this was the situation with Joseph. Well, his brothers think, this guy, he believes he's the best of everything. And in Psalm 37, it will show you all some of the things that he say, like he had a dream that all his brothers will bow for him, and things like that that get his brothers really mad at him. So they decided, let's get rid of him. They plan to kill their own brother. But sometimes when we see news and how people kill each other, or families and things like that, you say, how is that possible? Sometimes madness, craziness, anger, things that we haven't dealt with will catch up to us really fast. And so they decided to sell him. One is the brother intervened, no sell it, just throw him in the pit. But finally, they sold him, and he was abandoned by his brothers and presented as his dad, to his dad, that he was killed. A few years, a long time ago actually, I don't remember how many years ago, I was in a trip to Venezuela in the jungle close to the border with Colombia. And I had the opportunity to go speak there at the conference. And when I finished the conference, there was this young man that came to me and he said, I would like to talk to you. And I said, okay, let me finish talking to this people and then I will talk to you. But then the pastor came, took me away. We went to deal with some other things. I never talked to him, so he got really mad. But I remember I had to talk to him, so I told the pastor, I would like to talk to this guy. He said, yes, he is at church all the time. So I went to the church. And when I walk in, I said, you remember you wanted to talk to me yesterday? I want to talk to you. He said, you're all the same. I don't have nothing to tell you. And he walked away. I was surprised because I said, well, have it done. I mean, I'm here all nice trying to talk to you, and you act like that. But then God put in my heart, try as much as you can to talk to this guy. Long story short, I tried several times. Finally, I had the opportunity to talk to him. The problem was this. He told me, I don't know what's my name. I don't know where I'm from. I don't know who's my mom, my dad. I don't know nothing about myself. I said, how is that possible? He said, I don't know how old I am. I don't know actually if my name is my name. The only thing I remember, I was a young boy in the street living. And so when I was around 17 years, I show up to the army and said, I'm Juan Perez and I want to be part of the army. And that's how his life started as Juan Perez, let's say. But he never knew anything about him. He actually was abandoned by his parents. And so his problem was when I came to him and I said, yes, I want to talk to you. And then I walk away. What did I do? I triggered what he was struggling with all his life. Rejection, abandonment is things that are hard in people's life. And sometimes we walk in the middle of a lot of people. We can be in the middle of a crowd and we still feel lonely by ourselves. You know, God knows that feeling. He knows that you struggle. That's why the Bible says, but the Lord deliver him from them all. God, you know, everything, every time that you see in the Bible, anything that's written, and then it says, but God, that's the biggest change of everything, because that's the turnover, that's the comeback that could happen in people's life. I know if you like baseball, but I was at the Williamsport a few weeks back, the Little League World Series, and our little island was playing the final. I was 3 hours away in the conference, and I heard that my team went to the final. I said amen to the conference, and I started driving, okay? I wanted to see my team. But I was driving, I said, man, we won all these games all the way to the final, and I'm showing up now, we will lose. That was my idea. I said, but I don't care. I'm going there because I want to go see those little guys play baseball. I drove 3 hours there, and the first inning we start, we make one run. I said, oh, it's not so bad after all. But we will play this team from Hawaii. I don't know, any of you have seen that World Series baseball? They whoop us like crazy. But you know, no one can take away the joy I had to see those little guys playing, even though we lost the game. My expectation was I would celebrate with them and all that, but I remember when I first got there, and I was asking for tickets, where I can get ticket, because ticket was really difficult to find. And I walked to this guy, and I told him, I saw he's from our island, so I asked him in my language, do you have where can I get ticket? He said, oh, you can speak Papiamento? This is your ticket. So I got a free ticket to go right there to see the game just because I know the language. But can you imagine how I show up and speak the language, and they say, I don't know you. What are you doing here? No one invites you. That's rejection. That's hard. Because sometimes we go with the expectation, this is part of, we're part of this, we're going to, and it's not happening that way. The story of Joseph is a long story, in starting in chapter 37 and on all the way to chapter 50. But the end of the story is amazing in chapter 50. How God, through all those things that God took him, that he was rejected, he was abandoned by his family, but how God has a plan to restore him and put him in the place that was privileged in front of all these things that he was facing. You know, sometimes we don't understand why things happen in our lives. But one thing I know for sure, that God in our life make difference. God in our lives, not the figure of Almighty, but God actively in our lives. And when you have God in you, the Holy Spirit living in you, even though you go through trials and tribulations, situations very difficult, God always, but God, will make a difference in our lives. And so we can trust him. We can really trust him because he is in control in our lives. Not only we face the pain of rejection, abandonment, but the pain of despise. This is a complicated word because we see that in in Isaiah 53. That God was despised. And this is the same feeling in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, or actually the whole chapter, but it's mainly talking about Hannah that was rejected. She was a woman married. This man had two wives. One had kids and the other one, Hannah, didn't. And how she suffered the process of living a life with a husband without having that privilege to say, I have kids. I have some friends, dear friends, godly men and women, that have been praying to God for years for children. They have not been able to. And that's hard. Sometimes, I mean, right now, I'm at a stage that my kids are gone, and I'm happy, okay? But I had the privilege of having kids. So when you have them, you struggle with them, so you enjoy their living, okay? And that's why you guys see us here in New Orleans. Otherwise, we were still stuck in Texas. But they're gone. But we had that opportunity to struggle, fight, change diaper, and all those things with children. And now they're gone. But those that have never had that opportunity, it's difficult. And you and I that have kids maybe don't understand how people suffer through this process. And in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, you see Anna go in front of God and just cry her heart to God and ask God for a child. My family is crazy, like you all know. I mean, all of our family are crazy, but you haven't met my family. Well, my family, I mean the people on my island, okay? Those are crazy. They're crazy. Seriously. So I was in a conversation a few days ago with one of my aunts, and I was telling her, man, we went through this and this, and she was telling me all old story and problems that we had in the past. I said, have you guys got over that yet? I mean, that's just too long ago to still struggle with those things. No, but your mom and this. I said, come on. Life is so much fun when you can handle a struggle but just move on. But they still have certain people on blacklist, okay? Even though we're black, but they still have us on blacklist. So they still struggle with things that happened, I mean, a million years ago. And I was in the airport and talking to my aunt, and I was just frustrated. And that got me mad. Not for the issue that she is still hanging on to those things that, I mean, I've been out of the island for 28 years. And this happened way before I left. How is that possible? They still despising some of our family members and things like that for things that happened so long ago. And sometimes we stuck in those things. And people, if we don't let go, you don't live. Because yes, craziness happened. Yes, we struggle. Yes, we go through difficult situations. Yes, yes to all that. But there has to come to a point that we put all those things in God's hand and say, God, you know, this is just too much for me. I'm done with this. I need to move on. Did anyone hurt you ever? Hello, if you're alive, yes. But can you imagine you're still struggling with the same old stuff from 20, 30, 50 years ago? And that's what happened with Joseph's brothers. In chapter 50, they still came and crying and concerned for what happened with him almost 90 years back. Because they were still holding on to those things. And you don't have life. You don't live when you don't let go. You don't live when you don't put those things in God's hand and say, God, I mean, I cannot deal with those things. I cannot solve those things. But I have to put them in your heart and in your hand so I can live a life. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's really there, right there. Because he cared for you through that process. And save those who are crushed in spirit. Sometimes people have hurt you so bad that you feel that you don't have no reason to live. People are bullying you. Nowadays, they talk about bullying, but I think older people like me, 50 and up, I don't remember those things, right? We just, they said some things and then we just move on. Nowadays, we can't live because they call us a name. I think I was smart back then. I remember the thing back then at school, this was in elementary still. They call your mom's name. Like, if your mom's name is Carmen, they call Carmen. And so you get offended, okay? Because they call your mom's name. So when I first moved to the school, I heard that was the trick. So I told them my mom's name is Maria, even though her name is Stella. So when they say Maria, I don't care because I don't know her. So it never offended me. They called my mom's name because they were never right. They didn't know. But nowadays with the social media, the things that keep going and going and going, and I can understand now how hard it could be with our children, our grandchildren, coming up in this day and age. But you know, God knows what people go through and how we... The same God that gave me the smartness to give them false name is the same God that can tell you now, turn off your iPhone or whatever. You don't need to allow people to continue hurting you in situations. That's the same thing in relationships. Sometimes we say, we're trapped in this. We can't go nowhere. Move on. There's no reason. God hasn't called you to be suffering like that. Because it says, the righteous person in verse 19 may have many troubles. but the Lord. But the Lord is the one that delivered him or her of all of them. We may face rejection, abandonment, despise even by people, but God is the one that lifts us up to face those times. Jesus was rejected, and because of that, he can relate to us. God himself came to earth to give us life, and he was rejected by you and me. But because he went through that, your rejection is nothing. I can't minimize what you feel, but he can understand it. I will not be able to relate with you 100%, but he will. Because he has been rejected also. Jesus was abandoned by his disciples, who he invested his life in their lives. But those guys that walked with him saw all those things that he did. When times came to the point that they have to show up, they ran away. But you know, when Jesus resurrected, he went straight back to them and say, I still care for you. Because God, even though he was forsaken, when he was on the cross, he said, why you abandon me? Because he was taking in all our sins because he loves us and he cares for us. Was Jesus ever been despised by people? Yes. So he can come now and give you life because he was rejected. He went through all that process. But when the Bible says, but the Lord is the one that delivered him from all of that. C.S. Lewis, like we said before, says that hardship often prepare us, ordinary people, for extraordinary situations. So I don't think God has allowed you to go through anything that you have been through up to this point just for fun. I'm for sure all those things that God allowed me to go through in my life is for a purpose, for things that I don't have no idea how he's going to use that in my life. But I know he will. I know he has done that before also. And he will do that again. So God is not, he doesn't lose the opportunity to give himself the glory because he is with us through the process. When you are down, like the prodigal son, He wasted his life. But the Bible says he came to his senses in verse 17. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. He came to his senses. When he came to his senses, the only one that can help us come back to our senses is God. To show us, you not belong here. You not belong in this situation. Let's move on because I allow you to go through this process because of your rebellions and all those things that you did. But I'm here to help you go back up. To move in the direction that I have created for you because I have a plan. I have a special plan for your life. Are you ordinary people? God, through the hardship, will make you extraordinary individuals because now you have learned difficulties that you can face life and teach others what God has done in and through your life. This morning, I really don't know your circumstances. Maybe like me, just move to a nice place or so-called nice place, let's say nice place, New Orleans, okay? And went through a hard time. But God has a plan that he is using that I don't know all yet. God has you here, and he prepared you through things that you have been through. With what purpose? Just for fun to see you suffer? He has a plan. The question is, what do you want me to do with what I have learned through this process, Lord?
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.